Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Perry, welcome to my home. Welcome to my podcast. How are you?
I'm really good. A little bit tired because I've just come from a workshop, but yeah, I'm apart from that, really great.
Tell me about the workshop. What have you been up to today?
We launched one of our mental health programs today. I'm in a pupil referral unit in Barnet, and it was our first day, and our program's called Skip to the Beat. It's a 3-month youth empowerment model that works with young people that have got behavioural problems, but actually they just need some love, really.
Okay, everyone listening to this is going, she's amazing. What? She's just launched a what? She does what? Like, you are one of the most... I mean, there's so much I want to talk to you about because you're just instantly warm and you've got this lovely aura, but you're doing incredible stuff for young people. So tell me about your charity.
So my charity is called the Young Urban Arts Foundation. I set it up in 2009. So a bit of backstory on why, because everyone always says, oh, what made you do that? I come from a disadvantaged background.
Tell me what that means. What?
My father was an alcoholic, quite violent. Grew up in quite a bit of poverty, really. I mean, we weren't well off. My mum was amazing, did the best that she could, you know, but it was, brought up on a council estate.
Whereabouts?
In South London, in Woolwich. Life wasn't easy growing up, but music was always there for me. My dad taught me music. He taught me how to write lyrics and songs, and I've been writing since I was about 11. Without music, I don't know where I'd be. I got caught up in a gang when I was in my late teens. But because of music, I ended up getting a tour in the States. I ended up moving to America for 2 years or a year and a half. And that literally was my saviour. So I always say that music saved my life. And because of that same story, you know, it's like, had I not gone to America at that time, I don't know where I would have been now. I came back from America, continued doing my music for a few years. And then just had this light bulb moment one day. I went to a school and did a talk about being one of the first females in a male-dominated industry. And I met this young girl, and she looked just like me. She was like, she had dark hair. She was quite short, and she just
gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. She was gorgeous, she basically shared her story with me and just said, you know, basically like what my life was growing up. When I left that workshop that day, it was just like one of those moments in time where, you know, where life will never be the same again. And I knew at that point that I wanted to work with young people. And the rest is history, really.
What year was that?
2007.
And you're one of those remarkable people who, I love people like this, who don't just talk, they do.
I'm a doer.
You are a doer. They're my favourite kinds of people. So you then, in 2009, set up your...
Young Urban Arts Foundation.
Thank you very much, Young Urban Arts Foundation. So what's the theory behind it? What do you do?
So our mission is to transform the lives of young people by strengthening their well-being through creativity and culture. So we do...
And why is that important?
Well, creativity, it's not just about music and arts. creation. You know, we create in every moment. We're creating what we're wearing. We're creating what food we're cooking. You know, that lovely food you just made me, you know, you created that.
Yeah, I did do that.
Yeah.
And so I got a message from Kerry as she was on the way here and she said, I need to stop. I'm starving. I'm going to get some food. So obviously the Indian mother in me kicked in and I said, I'm going to make you some food. Oh, so yeah, I'm glad you ate.
It was delicious.
Thanks.
But, you know, the form of creation and expression, you know, it's that expression. We need to express ourselves in order to have a good well-being, because if we do not express ourselves, it goes into all other places. You know, when people get angry or are sad or depressed or suicidal, you know, all these sorts of things. And then, you know, creative expression, it's fun, it's personal. And for me, being able to express myself at such an early age, and I didn't have any mentors around me. Actually, I did have one, which I'll get onto in a minute. But just being able to have that outlet, it was like I had something else taking me away from the pain, the anguish, the trauma. And I just feel it's just so important for all human beings, but young people, to instill and to be empowered to create.
I mean, you said so much stuff. There's so much to talk about. And I feel like already there's going to be a part two to this podcast.
Yeah.
So you joined a gang?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't join a gang. I had a group of friends who...
How old were you?
I think about 17. I had a group of friends who we all hung out. And then I just ended up doing stuff for them. And yeah, just being part of this. But the thing is, what I'm trying to get at here is I was looking for a family because my family life was so dysfunctional. And this is going back to why nurturing young people is so important, because they don't want to be involved in these things, but they're looking for something. They're looking for love. And I thought it was fake love, but there was love there for me. I felt like part of something. I felt listened to. I felt heard. I felt, you know, and they would look after me.
I think it's not that difficult for anyone, no matter what your background, to relate to that. Because I think as a kid, as teenagers, you want to fit into a tribe, don't
yeah.
you? You just need your community. Yeah. And depending on your upbringing, you know, if it's sort of gang culture,
yeah,
that's what you're going to fall into.
Yeah.
That's all you've got around you.
Yeah.
I'm just fascinated by people like you who have the capacity somehow to see beyond it and want something different. So you talk about the music that saved you. So what got you into the music? And talk about the music, because that's how me and you met.
Yes.
We met at a day rave at 93 Feet East, a jungle day rave. Yes, I'm a 40-year-old woman who still goes to day raves.
Don't ever stop.
I'm never going to stop.
Never stop.
But my music for life.
Mm.
Music for life. So yeah, tell me about how you got out of your upbringing and your surroundings.
So, well, it's funny, you know, my dad's... Rest in peace. He took his life a few years ago as well. I'll get onto that in a minute, which is why I'm doing the mental health work. But, you know, he, as much as he was very, he was a lost soul. And his alcoholism, it was very destructive. And it was very painful to be a child of an alcoholic and be on the receiving end of all that comes along with that. But at the same time, he taught me how to write songs. So my fondest memories of me and my dad are, you know, round the fire. Well, no, we didn't really have fire, but, you know.
Where did your dad grow up?
He was a bit all over the place, really. He's Irish. He left Ireland when he was, I think, 13 or 14 on his own. Got on a boat to London. I'm still trying to work out his story, actually.
Do you not know your dad's side of the family?
I do know his side of the family. Yeah, I know them. I saw them this year for the first time since the funeral. He was a musician and he played the guitar.
Talking about how you got yourself out of that gang life in South London.
Yeah.
That group, and we're talking about the music. And
yeah.
How you got into it. You were telling me about writing with your dad.
Yes. So funny. So I am 11 years old and I started school, secondary school. And our class got selected for a program called Top Banana. I don't know if you remember it, but it was years ago. Top Banana was hosted by Michaela
Strachan.
She's and Timmy,
awesome.
And Timmy Mallett. Right.
Where is he now?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
And we got selected to be on this show. So we had to come up with a theme. And Yeah, the theme, basically, I said, let's be rapping witches.
You're already, I mean, you're also already my favourite, you're already my favourite person, but rapping witches.
So we all dressed up as witches, all these chains on. And then we had to write a group song, and me and my dad wrote the song.
Amazing.
And we won the program.
Can you remember the song? Of course you can.
Maybe.
Go on, give me a verse.
No, I'll just give you the words. I'm not going to rap it.
You don't have to rap it.
The first two lines are, the rapping witches is our name. We're going to play the banana game.
All right.
So yeah, that was my first on-screen experience as an MC.
Amazing.
11 years old. Brilliant. Yeah, it was great. And yeah, and from there, I just really got into rap as well. So I used to love, like,
who did you listen to?
MC Light, MC Hammer, Salt and Pepper.
Yes.
Who else? Queen Latifah.
I love that you mentioned three female groups. Like, it's not just instantly you think of men, but I love that you're mentioning women.
Yeah, they were the ones.
Yeah.
And obviously MC Hammer, I used to do his dance.
Of course.
Hammer time. and then school. I was pretty intelligent at school, but I was very mischievous. So I'd be really good at school, but I'd be going out raving all weekend.
Jungle raves.
Of course, jungle raves. I started off at Club Labyrinth in Dawson Lane, just up the road from here. And I'm not going to tell you my age, because I was definitely underage to get in there. But
can say that now. It's all right.
No, it's all right, isn't it? Yeah. No one's going to come down. And,
no one's going to go. I drank underage. It's okay.
Yeah, I was 15. And my friend, mentor, he's like a soul brother, Demas J. He used to take me. My mum would only let me go if he was taking me.
Because he'd look after you.
He would look after me. And he used to get very annoyed at me when I go missing. That's another story.
When you'd rat around.
Yeah.
Did you disappear into the club?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I think me and you are soul sisters.
Yeah, we are. And then after the club, he'd be like, right, we're going home. I'm like, no, I'm going to an after party. Yeah.
Obviously.
So basically I used to go to that club and I used to watch him MC. I used to watch everyone MC, like...
Who's your favourite MC?
Oh, my... I can't answer that.
Comrades.
I can't answer that.
For me, it's got...
Oh, it's a comrade for you.
I think so.
I've got too many. I mean, because everyone's got their own thing, you know? Like, everyone's got their own...
Flow
and the own reason why I like them. Like, you know, I've got an armful and... there's too many.
You're right. A great MC is a great MC.
Yeah.
And it's about the journey they take you on when you're listening to those tunes.
And it depends what DJ's playing
you're
as well.
Absolutely right, yeah.
So I started watching these MCs. I started going home every day after the clubs and then writing these lyrics. Probably the same lyric. I wrote this same lyric, you know, and I just practiced the same lyric. Anyway, so I went up to Demas and I said, oh, I wrote this, I did it on a piece of paper, and I said, oh, can you like MC my lyric for me on the mic? And he was like, no, you do it. I was like, oh my God.
What, in a club?
In a club.
How old were you?
15.
And he just handed you the mic?
He just handed me the mic.
Is this the mentor?
Yeah.
He is a mentor.
Yeah.
To hand a 15-year-old kid a mic and just go, come on, get up there.
Yeah.
Didn't care that you were a little girl, didn't care that you were 15. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And did you do it?
Of course I did. And then every week I went back and I did it again and again. I sounded like a mouse because I had a very high voice. But I went back again and again. And then I think I was 16... New Year's Eve, 1996, Joe from Club Labyrinth, it's their 30th anniversary this next month, they said, oh, come into the office, we want to show you something. And they give me this flyer, and they've got on the flyer, not even Lady MC, they've got Introducing Kerry on the flyer for
Amazing.
New Year's Eve, right?
What?
Yeah. So that was it. And then I was resident there, and that's where that was like my stomping ground. It was like where I practiced, where a lot of people know me from back in the day. And that's where I started. And then I just continued to, you know, expand and go on radio and get on as much radio. But my main thing was going to the raves and just grabbing mics. You know, I wasn't booked, just finding someone to give me a microphone. And that's what I did, and that's how I ended up sort of building myself up. So by the time I was around 18, I'd already started touring Europe and Ireland, and then by the time I was 20, I was stateside. And
what were you doing in the States? How is that? Is that the most amazing experience? What happens? Is it the bat phone rings, a letter comes through the letterbox? How did you get the American deal? What was that?
Well, I took my when I was 20, I took myself on my own to the Winter Music Conference.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
In Miami.
Yeah.
Which is the place. I mean, every DJ goes there. It's meant to be an incredible music festival to go to.
So I packed my suitcase. Back in the day, we had our demo CDs. Did all my demo CDs, went there on my own, and just went there. And I knew a few people over there from London. But that's when I started to meet up with everyone from the jungle scene, actually, because I think when you're out of your environment and you're in another country, you can communicate, you can build bit deeper relationships with people. So I started to meet more people. And then I met TC Islam from Zulu Nation. And he said, look, come to New York. He said, you're amazing. Like, come to New York, I'll get you some gigs. Came back from Miami. 2 weeks later, I packed my suitcase, went back to New York. Went to New York, stayed there for 2 weeks. On probation, by the way.
What? Yeah. What have you been up to?
Oh, you don't want to know.
I do want to know. It's the point of the podcast. You want to know everything.
Oh.
Go on. What have you been up to?
Well, I'd been arrested a few times for the same thing. And, yeah, I was on probation. I'm sorry, I can't.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
We don't have to go there.
Yeah.
You've got a reputation. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The point is, we make mistakes when we're younger.
We do.
And we're a product of our environment.
We absolutely.
Stuff happens.
Yeah.
So you're on probation, but you've still gone to America.
Yeah.
So how long have you got in the States to make a name for yourself before you've got to come back and see your probation officer?
Well, 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. So 2 weeks, went to New York, did a few shows over there. And then when I got there, this TC Islam, he died last year as well. Rest in peace, T. But he had this big house called The Compound. And it was like a big creative community hub. And I was like, oh, my God. And he said, well, just come move here. And I was like, what? Just come and move here. I told him what I was going through in the UK, all the sorts of things that I was, caught up in. I think about 3 months later, I packed all my stuff. My poor mum, 20 years old, and she's like, my baby's going to, the States. But I went there and I stayed there for, I think, about a year and a half.
He gave you an opportunity.
He did. He did give me an opportunity, and I learned about real hip-hop.
Who were you hanging out with? What year was this?
I think
to early
2001.
So it's like, what, is that Raucous Records? Back then, I don't know what who were you sort of hanging out with?
I was doing jungle.
Yeah,
I was there for the jungle, standard. But I was also learning about, TC would throw me on battle rap stages and say, "Hey man, we got Lady MC. She's from London. She's gonna kick your ass." I'm like, "Fuck."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Am I?"
And I bet you did.
I did.
But you did.
At that moment, though, there was one time he threw me on a stage, and I just remember. I remember believing in something big higher than myself because I was like, I don't know where those lyrics came from.
I know where they came from. They came from years and years and years of you practicing.
Yeah.
They came from those years of you standing on the side of the stage waiting to be handed that mic to get up there. It all pays off.
It does.
This stuff doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
Amazing. Mm. So now you're in the NYC rap battles with the big burly New Yorkers taking them down, dropping the mic, all that.
And then, so being based in America, it was so much easier to get gigs because all the other American promoters are like, we haven't got to pay, a UK fee. They just pay for my flight and, like a normal person for the United States. So I did loads of gigs for the whole East Coast. We did a tour from New York and we had a tour van and we came all the way down to the Minute Music Conference with the crew. It was brilliant. Some of the best times of my life, yeah.
I bet. So why did you come back?
I missed home. And I was ready. I'd achieved what I wanted to achieve. And I came back, I came back a different person. I came back, I came back a completely different person. I came back a woman, or young lady. I think I only became a woman a few years ago, but I like to keep it that way. I feel like I came back a new person. And I was out of everything that I left behind. And I was able to come back and start a new life.
And then you picked up the music whilst you're in the UK.
Of course.
Yeah.
And because I've been doing so much stateside, when I came back, I was hot off the press.
Yeah.
So, my music was going great.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love that you now then decided in 2009 to give it back, give something back. So the charity, how important is that to you?
Well, it's more a mission, It's like it's a spirit mission for me. It's something I can't really explain. It's not something I ever thought about. It was something that I was guided through me to do.
I work in telly, and like this, the big conversation that's taken place, not just in my industry, but across the board, yeah. which is the D word, diversity.
Yeah.
And people are always trying to get me to sit on panels, obviously, being one of a few brown faces. And I'm always saying the same thing, which is diversity isn't just about the colour of your skin, it's about class.
Yes.
Right? It's about economics.
Yeah.
And.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's all well and good getting people from different backgrounds in, but it spread, get Pete, how do you generate getting, how do you get children from the lower economic areas of Great Britain into these very middle class, white, male dominated industries? Because it's not easy.
No, it's not. And it's funny, today, like you said, you know, I said we launched a new program, our Skip to the Beat program, which I'd love to speak to you about in a sec. And, you know, I spent some time with, you know, some of the young people today. And when I say I come from a disadvantaged background, sometimes I have to eat my words and go, actually, it was okay. Because of the difference in disadvantage. You know, I had a mum who loved me, who worked two jobs to put food on the table, even though she was going through hell with my dad. You know, I still was able to get into school. I still managed to get 9 GCSEs, you know, all these things. And some of the young people that I was even talking to today, I mean, we deal with a lot of young people. And today I was like really moved, you know.
You get to experience really.
Real disadvantage. And so, you know, I realise that I am.
For people who don't know, you obviously you don't have to name any names, but like what. Just give us an example of the kinds of children that what. But I think it's really important because I kind of have to sit down with people doing my line of work.
Yeah.
I've experienced real disadvantage. I get invited into people's homes to speak to them, which is the biggest privilege of my job. But it also means you get to see other worlds and really understand relative poverty and what it's all about. So what do you come across? Because what you do is in Great Britain. It's on people's doorsteps. It's under people's noses, but they just don't see it.
Yeah. So, well, one of the young people we met today... he's on cocaine and crack. He's like 14 years old, taking Xanax. His sisters have been taken away from him because of his family life. He doesn't know whether to cut his sisters off because he might not ever see them again. He's in a gang, and he couldn't even give me any eye contact. That's how low his self-esteem and confidence is.
So what can you do for that child? I mean, that is heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. How can you and what you do help someone like that?
Well, we already are. So it's really around creating a safe space for people, for them to really be who they are and us meeting them where they are. So we're just going to meet you where you are. We're not going to try and make you do anything. We're going to create space. We're going to create these activities. You can get involved if you want. And most of the time they do because you're not forcing them to do anything. But, I mean, our Skip to the Beat program has been developing over the past 2 years. It's been co-created with a a facilitator called Stephanie Turner, who I was in Egypt with. We deliver a model called it's called the Creative Community Model. The Creative Community Model has sort of four principles. One is around everyone is creative. The second one is you don't have to be an artist to create. I've forgotten the other two now, but it's really around creating a community for not just young people, but just for all of us, you know, creating this community. How do you need to be in this community? You know, like me and you, like us three, we're sitting here, this is our little community. How do we need to be with each other for it to work?
I bet there's people listening to this, because you're talking about young people, but there's adults listening to this going, yeah. Because it's making me, how do I connect with my creativity? Because you're right. We are creative. Yeah. Human beings are creative.
We are.
And it's so good for the soul.
Yeah.
We can't just live and do a job and come home and just think about the money all the time. At what point? Because you're just going to burn out.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a sore point for me, actually, because doing music for like 20 years and then doing my charity, and the charity has pretty much taken over a lot of my time. And the past few years, I haven't been doing as much music as I'd like to. And I'm not personally doing as much of my own creativity as I'd like to. And the only reason because of that is because we don't have enough funding for me to get more people in to help me with all the work that I do, so I can go away and, you know, do more of what makes me happy.
Okay, so we've got a community of people listening right now.
Great.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Not just my mum.
Yeah. And mine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, Kerry's mum. You're awesome. Or what can people do? Because I bet my bottom dollar on the fact that people will be inspired listening to you.
Yeah.
I am incredibly inspired sitting with you and listening to you.
Thanks, Anita.
How can people help?
Well, there's a couple of ways. There's loads of ways. What I didn't talk to you about, I'm just going to quickly talk about what we do is, so like I said, our mission is to transform the lives of young people through creativity and culture. We have a bus, a single-decker bus, which is converted into a multimedia suite. Inside the bus, we have got 9 Apple Mac computers, which is all, you know, kitted up with Logic X, teaching young people the art of music production. We do rap workshops, we do vocal recording, we do DJ workshops, we do street dance, visual arts. And we take this bus into the heart of these communities, these hard-to-reach communities, these states where there's nothing going on, where there's high deprivation. So we take the bus into these estates and we go in there week in, week out, and we work with these young people. We do community days, but our bus is actually quite old now and it's run down and it keeps breaking down, and we need to raise some money quite desperately for a new bus or to revamp the one we've got. We've got a GoFundMe page, which we're raising funds for at the moment. So that's one way that people can help. Other ways that people can help is basically helping us to get some brand sponsorship. We are very sponsorable, if that's a word. It's just really, it's always who you know, isn't it?
Totally.
You know, it's always who you know. And the work we do is so important. And with young people, you know, 80% of youth clubs have been shut down. You know, there's hardly anywhere for young people to go anymore.
And your work is predominantly in London?
Predominantly in London, but we will be going global over the next couple of years. We are setting up a global youth radio station.
You're my kind of girl.
Yeah.
The world is limitless.
Yeah, it is.
I love that. We're in London, but we're going global. Yes, you are going global. Yeah,
we are.
I love that.
We are.
And the reason I say you're predominantly London, because we're sitting in one of the wealthiest cities on earth. That's everybody who's anybody wants to come to London. So if London can't get off its backside to help you out, then it's shame on London, really.
I'll leave that in your hands to say that.
Well, no, come on. Like I often look at Tower Hamlets.
Yeah.
One of the poorest, most deprived areas in London, and you've got Canary Wharf sitting in the same borough.
I know.
You know.
I must admit, Anita, it is a daily battle for me, trying not to judge others for not doing more for the world in general. But then I have to look and say, well, this is who you are, Kerry. You can't paint that brush on everyone else. Like, for example, I'll meet people all the time and go, oh my God, you're so inspiring. Like, how can I help? Take my details, like, contact me, and then I'll contact them and they just won't get in touch. Those are the sorts of things that, you know, I think, wow, it's really interesting where people are, because you can't judge people where they are, but this, I feel you're, what you were saying, you know.
I know what you mean. I know, no, exactly, because I think lots of people, especially people who work at doing stuff that you do, feel that, because people, and I don't, disbelieve people. I think in the moment they are inspired. How can they not be by you and your story and what you're doing? I think people's lives are just not organised enough, or they get caught up in other stuff. I just think it's as simple as that. I think you've just got to keep going. Honestly.
Well, and we do.
And hopefully somebody listening to this will just give you a bus.
Thank you. I'll say thanks in advance. So what we're doing over the next sort of, our plan for the next 3 years is to continue running our Skip to the Beat programs, which is around, you know, improving young people's mental health. And we're setting up a radio station in the next 6 months, which is going to be global. It's going to be the global voice for youth. And it's going to be based in Tower Hamlets. And I just got back from Egypt, from the Partners for Youth Empowerment conference. We spent 6 days together, all 80 of us, you know, just...
I know, your Instagram looks amazing. It looked like you had the best time.
Thank you. I did. It was moving. It was transformative. It was encouraging. And on top of that, because the radio station I was going to set up anyway, which is going to be London based. And then when I got there, I was like, well, why don't I just get everyone from all these different countries to host their own radio show, from young people from Kenya, South Africa, India, China, so everyone can hear the voice of youth globally. And for us all to understand, actually, you know, for some young people here, they're like, oh, my life's, you know, stuff. We're like, actually, listen to this radio show and hear what it's like for these young people in South Africa. So, yes, we're setting that up. So if there's anyone out there that wants to get behind it and give us some money to kickstart it, we have got some funding to get it started. But, you know, anyone that wants to come on board and get involved, or you have any young people that are amazing presenters that want to get on board and join the radio.
I know a few might be able to come and mentor or do some stuff.
I'm going to be calling you in.
Yeah, don't worry. I know a few people.
Great. And other ways people can get involved. Yeah, it really is resources, if I'm honest. We've got the infrastructure, we've got the programs, we've got the team, we've got the passion, we've got the love for it, you know, we've got the drive, the determination. We're just lacking resources. And yeah, I think that given more resources, and when I mean resources, I mean funding.
Of course.
You know, we're going to be able to expand much quicker and reach many more young people.
Okay, well, I think we can definitely, this podcast hopefully will reach the right people, and there's many ways of trying to tap into all of that. Are you going to get back in the studio as well? I can see that this is your life and it's your passion, and it's your calling, Kerry.
Yeah.
It's like you were meant to, your life and everything you've been through and everything you've experienced, the fact that you are now giving back, it's like you were meant to be doing this. But you need to be creating as well, don't you?
I do. I'm having a meeting on Friday, actually, just to do a project. Yeah, just to create a new music project for myself.
Excellent.
With the Reju.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah, of course. So we're going to meet up on Friday.
A mutual friend of ours who's a total badass. And the reason we connected.
Yes.
Because of Reju. Yeah.
So I'm going to be working on a project. I reckon I'm going to be starting a big music project by probably about April next year. I need to get the charity sustainable before I do that, because it's very hard to create when I'm in my mind trying to work stuff out all the time and, you know, getting my main focus is how much money have we got to run the programs, to cover the core costs, to fix the bus, damn it, to set up, you know, these new programs. So, and I always believe my talent is never going to go anywhere. So for, you know, past couple of years, I've been like, oh my God, I really want to do my music. But actually my talent's not wasted.
No.
It's not going anywhere. But I am putting in a plan to create an incredible project. I have been in the studio over the past 2 years. I've made probably about six to eight tracks, which I haven't put out. So I'm slowly, you know, doing bits and pieces. I've been doing hosting events. I've been emceeing here and there. But yeah, I do miss it. I do miss doing it more regular. But I also know that the work I'm doing is very important too.
And do you, because it was your dad that got you into music, is his voice still in your head at all? I know you've obviously had a very complicated relationship with him being an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And he took his own life recently.
A few years back. I've got 8 years, actually. So it feels quite recent. But yeah, he took his life. And that's why I set up Skip to the Beat. Skip to the Beat was for men. Well, not just men, but it was really just to... If my dad knew... or got help, he would have realised it was a mental health condition he probably wouldn't have turned to alcohol and he'd probably be alive today. So I hope that Skip to the Beat and all the work that we're doing saves more lives.
I think what you're doing is so important. I think you are incredible. I'm so glad our paths have crossed and you're in
Me
my
too.
Life and we've been able to do this.
Me too.
I definitely am going to speak to you again because I think you've got so much to offer and so much wisdom and experience. And also you're just awesome. Please, I know, because I made it right. Everybody, the first time I met Kerry, I was at 93 feet east. It was a jungle rave. I'm a big junglist as well. And our mutual friend Reggie introduced us and told me that Kerry's a...
And she made me spit lyrics.
I made her spit next to the speaker.
Yes, you did.
And it was blooming brilliant. But obviously, you know, I've kicked you in spit to demand. But come on, just give us... Like, everyone listening is just... Give me something, just a little burst. I'll even play your record if you want, or you can just do it freestyle.
What record have you got?
I've got loads of records. Do you want to come and have a look?
All right, let's have a look.
Come on then, come over. Look at my back room. I've got decks. So you're getting an insight. You might have to pick that phone up.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put the light on. Right. Hang on. Here we go. What about this? Some breakbeat era... Should we see what that is?
Oh, what's this? Solution. This is probably more my bag.
So we're in my back room now.
Is the mic connected to the...
Right.
Let's see what track this is.
Let's see what happens. See what comes out.
I love the way you've just got this all ready to go.
This is me, dude. This is me in my back room. These are my 1200s that I bought. There we go. This will do you? Flip it. There we go. We've got so much jungle down here.
All right.
Yeah?
This will do.
This will do.
Hear the break. Are you going to edit this stuff? Is this gonna
he's going to edit it, don't worry. Lady MC in my...
Okay. Send it up.
Turn it up. Here we go.
Yeah. Are you going to record this in and then over the top? How's this going to work?
No idea.
I don't know how it's going to work. Oh, we might need to turn the music down a bit then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
All right.
Let's see what happens.
Break the brakes. I don't need the mic, do I? I've got this on.
Try me. Just see.
Oh, okay.
I'm so excited. I'm so
magical. Oh, my God.
This is awesome.
On this life's journey as a human being, separating cloudy visions from the true meaning, giving thanks for every situation, because every life lesson, yeah, it causes transformation. When you're in it, may not seem it, but believe it, it's a strategy. I call it destiny, unique structure and design. Getting caught up in the mind is blind and not with the divine. Gratitude essential, see beyond the pain and homing in on credentials. The attitude of gratitude is constantly in my mood and vibration, appreciating revelations. We're ascending and elevating to the light, only acknowledging the lovely elements of life. Thankfulness for godliness and blessing that we manifest, of life, of peace and love and rest on this quest. Come on.
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That was just for you, Anita.
Oh my God.
Just for you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Awesome. Oh, yes. I've got goosebumps. Kerry, I adore you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Where can people get in touch with you? Tell me about all your social details.
So, I'd say personally, Instagram, Twitter, Lady MC Official. Facebook, anyway, that would do.
And the charity?
The charity is Young Urban Arts Foundation. It's yuaf.org.uk. Our socials are at YUAF Official.
I love you. Thank
love
you.
Love you too. Thank you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.